Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome in to the Risen Life, where we teach you to roar like the lion. How to stand in the enemy's face and be victorious. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you are, Father, because when we have you, we have everything we need. We thank you for the day that you have given us the abilities to be here. We don't take it lightly that we have the strength and the physical abilities, the mental abilities to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for breath, for life that you have given us. Lord, I pray now your blessings upon each and every facet of this service, that it be to glory and edify you, Lord, and it to be to empower the kingdom of God, the people of God. Your army sent at this time, at this appointed time, in this place. May we be strengthened, encouraged, and may hope overflow within us so that all can see that in you is what they need, is hope, love, peace, and joy. Father, keep your hand upon those that aren't here, that are coming, Lord. Keep them, give them safe journeys here. Keep our pastors safe as they are out and about today doing the work of God. And we thank you for the opportunity to be back here with the people of God. In Jesus' name, my enemy, you are no longer welcome here. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. You must flee and not return. Holy Spirit, you come. You have control of these services today. You sit in this place and work the divine work that you have been given. And let us be obedient and submissive to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so go back to 2 Kings 6. I'm going to finish up with there. And let me get to the right chapter. We're going to finish up our story, our account of Elisha when the enemy surrounds. And then if you want to put your finger or marker, Psalm 17 is where we will end. Now, last week, I taught you about your enemy and the strategies that he has when he comes against you. And reason why we do that, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." This is why we teach you the way we teach you. This is why we show you the enemy's plans, his way of deceiving, his way of bringing fear, or whatever it is he's bringing against you. He has a purpose for it. And last week we talked about that. And that is why I kept telling you, when you know his strategies, you know his playbooks, you can not only see him coming, but you know what devices he's going to be using against you. And that way you can make better choices and you know how to stand on the word of God and defend yourself. You are not powerless against him by any means. Actually, you have all authority and power over him according to the word of God. But, you know, you can pull your Bible out and beat on it all you want. If you don't read it, if you don't know it, and you don't apply it, it cannot defend you. It is a weapon that cannot defend you. So we're going to pick back up. I left you with Elijah, and the horses were coming down. And that's verse 18, 2 Kings 6:18. And it reads, "And when they came down to him," talking about the enemy army, "Elisha prayed unto the Lord. And he said, Smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to him the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered him, Elijah said, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Now we see the man of God, Elijah, wasn't rattled when he came out and saw the enemy, that he had come to them. He knew, and probably he could see, if I'm not mistaken, that God was protecting them despite the show the enemy had brought. He chose to pray. That's the first thing he did, was pray. Elijah prayed. And then he prayed for his servant to be able to see what he saw was the army of the God that was around them. So when your enemy comes, the first things you should do is pray. And how you should pray, I'm going to end the service today with that. What is your right as a child to pray? How do you pray when you have those situations? But I want to point out a few things that Elijah did. He gave mercy to the enemy. Not Satan, but the men that the enemy was using. The enemy will always use people. If he didn't have people to use, he wouldn't be doing much of anything, would he? Very little. Very little. He also uses a smokescreen. He uses fear, doubt, disbelief. He always using something to come against you. But Elijah prayed for blindness over praying for their death. And even forbid the king of Israel to smite them. He chose to save the life despite whom they were and whom had been sent them. He understood the battle is spiritual and not a physical altercation. Sounds much like our Lord, doesn't it? He wills that all would be saved. All flesh would be saved. This is why the world is in the state that it is. We have free choice. But his desire is that we all be saved. These men were acting on the orders of their king. As our enemy sends people against us, we too must understand they are serving the master whom they are captive to. They don't even realize that. And justice is what we must ask for. Despite our feelings, our emotions, our pride, we must leave the justice up to God. Unlike your pastor who sits in the car and prays for old time Pentecostal, you know, Old Testament punishment, death, basically. I learned to listen that day, and I'm teaching you from my pain. It's not the people. Yes, they're being used by the enemy. But we don't war against flesh and blood. That's Bible. Elijah even had them fed before they released them. What a heart of God to be able to do that with your enemies. We're supposed to pray for them, right? Do you remember Psalms 23? You prepare a table in the presence of my enemy. That means just they're going to see your blessing. But what a man of God that would turn around and share what you've been blessed with an enemy. What a man of God. How often do we, when persecuted, when we're offended, when we're burdened, confused, troubled, have the heart or mind to have any kind of kindness or gentleness or forgiveness toward the offenders? We're called to, though, aren't we? We are not warring against the flesh and blood, but we are to take the battle to the proper place, and that is the spiritual battlefield. Spiritual battlefield. Now, if you wouldn't mind, I want you to turn to Psalm 17. We're going to read this. And I'm going to pick out, I want to show you, this is a prayer that David wrote while he was being pursued by Saul. At a time that he was surrounded by his enemy, he was not yet king. He had been anointed king. The prophet had come and anointed him. He was going to be the next king of Israel. But Saul was still on the throne when all this happened. Does it remind you of anything in your life? I think that sometimes why God keeps our ministries, our callings, to a certain extent, the whole thing to himself. And he just releases a bit at a time is because the enemy can come against that. He can come against that. I was listening to a sermon this morning, and the gentleman made a very valid point. You know, Peter, you know, when they come to get Jesus, Peter drew a sword. Now, he didn't have his own sword. He pulled a sword from somebody else and cut off the high priest, the servant's ear. Do you know what the punishment would be for that? They could have arrested him then and there and crucified him or put him to death. But Peter had a ministry on his life. That is why that Jesus healed that man instantly, because he did not want the enemy to be able to take Peter's life at that time. He said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. The enemy has come to sift you, but every little detail in your life makes a difference. And when the enemy comes against you, it's an attack. And the outcome, a lot of times, depends on how we handle the situation. God's got a plan for it. A lot of times, we want to do what self wants to do. We want to let pride rise up and anger and bitterness. And that just keeps you from what God has for you in this situation. So Psalm 17, we're going to break it down into sections, but verses 1 through 5. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of forged lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proven my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men by the word of thy lips. I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. Do you know when the enemy comes against you, when is it the worst time that it weighs on your mind? It's in the middle of the night when your busyness is gone and you're trying to find rest. But I love what he says here. You have visited me in the night and you have tried me and you found nothing. You shall find nothing. First thing that you can do when the enemy comes against you is pray for justice. Not my justice. Not what I think is right. But ask God to do what is right His way. And sometimes you'll sit in the middle of the night and search yourself, or God will help you do that, and see, did I do something that caused this to come against me, Lord? Am I innocent in this matter? That should be the first thing that you do. Always look at yourself. It's not always going to be true, though. But if you come to God and submit to Him, Lord, is there something that I have done to cause this pain, to cause this tribulation, to cause the enemy to have this advantage over me? Reveal it to me now so that I can get it right and the enemy will have no hold over me in this area. That's kind of hard to pray, isn't it? We want to get on our knees. We want to forego the examination and just get on our knees and pray that God move in the situation. But we don't want Him to do the just thing. We want to do what was right for me. Notice that, yeah, you have tried me. The proper place is to look for justice, regardless of what it may be. Lord, you do what is right in your eyes. These are your rights. This is what you should be doing in every situation where the enemy comes against you, or if you have temptation or accusations, anything that's going on in your life that you feel the pressure of the enemy. These are what you have the right to do as a child of God. Ask for justice. Ask for justice. And then the second thing, let's read verse 6 through 9. So we're still in Psalm 17, 6 through 9. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thy ear upon me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee. from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, for the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Now notice his tone changed a little bit. He's laying in the bed at night, seeking God's help. God, look at me. Is there something wrong? I have done all that I know to do to be right with you, Lord. Is this justice that they are bringing against me? And now he's saying, I'm praying to you because I know you're going to hear me. Do you hear the tone difference? That's strength and power that you walk in. Once you have come to God and say, if I have done wrong, you show it to me. But if not, God, I want justice on both ends. To be open, to be submissive. There is power when you submit and do the will of God in a strength that you don't even know that is within you, because it is the Holy Spirit, His will within you. He's praying for protection. Not on the basis of he's a good person or he didn't do it right. On his loving kindness, on God's love. Do you know that's what the cross is all about, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't look at me and say, oh, you're worthy or you're not worthy, and I'm not going to die for you. No, he did it for all because he first loved us, right? What does that marvelous loving kindness mean? It means it's steadfast, unfailing, never-ending love of God. I can't earn it. It's there for me to take. I love that he says, and he also puts, you save me by thy right hand, for the, which is my right because I put my trust in you. How many times did the enemy come against you and you're on the phone talking to everybody in the country but God? What are they going to do for you? I love my husband. I trust him with everything, even my children and my own life. But there are places and things that go on in my life that he cannot fix for me. He has no power to do it. All I can do is sit there and cry with me. But I take it to the one who loves me, and because I trust him. There ain't nothing like knowing you're trusted, right? Doesn't that make you feel good when your children come to you and they share their issues with you? It's because they trust you and they love you. And they think that you can help them in some way. That's the way God is. Do you trust me? He says, I trust you. I trust you. Because of your love, not because of who I am, because of who you are. And then he says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Keep your eye upon me. Never let me leave your vision, Lord. Never let me veer or steer away from you, because in your presence, I have the shadow of the Almighty. I have the wings that cover me, the tower that is strong. And then he named who from the wicked who oppress me. And they compass me about. He was real about his situation. He was real about who they were. Psalm 17, 6 and 9 says, here we see David's confident faith to hear him, to love him, to save him, to keep his eye upon him, and to protect him. Do you know it sounds like James 4 and 7, right? Submit yourselves therefore to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise. A lot of us want to just resist and not submit to the will of God, not submit to whatever God had planned in that situation, and we think the enemy's going to flee, but we haven't done the first part of that, so it's not going to work. If you keep getting defeated and defeated and defeated, are you submitting to the will of God? Check yourself. I guarantee you there's something there that's missing. We must choose to submit to his will at all times, to devote our time and attention to him in prayer, in praise, and study of his word. Let's go on to verses 13 and 14. So now we've asked for justice. We've asked for protection. The next right we have as a child of God is to pray for change. You know you can do that, right? You can pray for change. It is to ask boldly for change. Justice part was me, you know, submitting and surrendering to his examination. Was this my cause? And if not, Lord, I have rights. I have rights. So I'm going to ask for change. What is the next 10 through 14? They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth, they speak proudly. They have now encompassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth like as a lion that is greedy of his prey. And as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From man, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. Now, the first couple of verses there, he explains who his enemy is. It's okay to go to God and say, do you see what they're doing, Lord? It's okay. It's okay to tell him that, as long as you don't live there and just stay there and end it there. It's okay to say, Lord, I feel like I'm being oppressed by the enemy. He's bringing this situation against me. And this situation, Lord, did you see this one happen the other day? The attorney called, the doctor called, the kids called. And the bank's called, whatever your situation, I don't care what it is. Work is causing this issue. It's okay to tell God your needs. It's okay. He wants to hear. He is a parent who loves to hear from you. I have grown children. I love when they call me. How's your day been? Tell me what's going on in your life. I want to hear it. First of all, I know what to pray for. I know how to encourage them. I can see the enemy seeking in and trying to devour them. And I can give them what words of wisdom that I do know, which is usually Bible-based. My son will say, wow, that was pretty profound. I said, no, honey, that was scripture. That's how profound the scriptures are. You ought to read it. It's got some wisdom in there for you. It's okay. He wants to hear those things. He wants you to be able to tell him everything. I heard a man once say, how do you know if you're being a good parent? Is when the kids come to you in distress and they're not afraid to tell you. One of the signs that you're being a good parent. We have the right as children of God to ask for change, not for our own will, not for our own comfort, but for the better of all, for God's will in our life. David asked for changes on the basis of God and not himself. So we have pray for justice, pray for protection, pray for change. Verse 15. We have the right. Verse 15 of Psalm 17 says, as for me, I will behold thy face. In righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, a lot of the scholars say that these words that are used are resurrection words, awake. It says no matter what happens, the enemy will not win. Even if I lose my life here on earth, I will awake and see you. I will be with you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalms 23. That's a promise. No matter what happens to me on earth, you know, I love to quote the scripture in Revelations 11, 12. And it says, and sometimes it's 12 and 11, I can't remember. But, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's physical and spiritual. No matter what the enemy does, to me, that is a praise to God. That is a praise. Lord, I am thankful that no matter what happens in this situation, I give you praise because even if I'm gone from here, I'm going to be with you. And it's all going to be over. He praised him. He gave thanksgiving to him. He says, when I wake, I will be like you. I will be like your likeness. No matter the pressure, the trouble, when it's all said and done on this earth, if I do it the right way and walk it out according to God's will, I'm going to be more Christ-like. And then when he comes again, I'm going to be able to handle it a lot better. I'm going to walk it better in faith and in hope and in joy and peace. And people are going to look at me and say, I know you're going through some stuff, but how are you so able to keep it all together and walk around here with a smile on your face and joy in your voice? Let me tell you about Jesus. That's what it's all about, to give him glory, to give him glory. To me, these words show I am victorious regardless what happens. This is faith in action. So pray for justice, pray for protection, pray for change, and ask in hope and give him praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. And I want to leave you with Deuteronomy 20. God gave me this, the words of God to Israel before a battle. I think it's verses 1 through 4. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seest the horses and the chariots and the people that are more than you, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He was reminding them, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad, but it's okay. It's okay. It goes on to say, and it shall be when you come anigh into the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, and this is my proclamation over you, hear, O Israel, you approach this day into battle against your enemy. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, and do not be troubled. Don't tremble, neither be terrified because of them, for you the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. And what for? To save. To save. You have a promise to save. You only have to be brave enough to go and fight. Don't look at the natural. Be like Elisha and realize the spiritual. There's more than them. There's more of us than them, he told his servant. We outnumber them greatly. Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. Let him see that we don't have to be afraid. We only have to do what God's called us to do. So your right as a child is to ask for justice. Well, remember, that's an examination too. Protection, ask for change. And to remember to ask with hope, not in fear. Regardless of what happens, God, I'm going to be more like you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to fear not because I know that you have put me here and you're fighting for me. I'm not alone and I will be saved. Father, we thank you for your words of encouragement and understanding. We thank you, Father, that your word is true even today, Lord. We can bank that these promises are true, and that we have help, and that we have the ability to, in the times of trouble, when the enemy comes, that we can sit back and see that we are surrounded by the angels of God, the army of God, and that you are constantly working all things out for our good. Give us strength in our weakest times. Lord, let this word come back to us in the time of our need. And let us walk as the army of God. We are called to be in this earth for this day and this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.